And welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll be breaking down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. We're going to have two guests on today's program. We're going to hear from Howard Cross, a member of our Giants broadcast team, here in a few seconds, and also Clemson football defensive coordinator Brent Venables will join us later on to talk about B.J. Goodson, one of the Giants' draft picks, what he'll bring to the team. Before we do that, we want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We'll get to your phone calls in a little bit, as well as hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. But right now we bring in our colleague Howard Cross to help break down what's going on with the Giants as well as the latest in terms of OTAs. Howard, Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, how's everything?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Doing quite well. And Howard, we have certainly a lot to cover now that OTAs are starting up. In terms of general speak, what area of this team is the biggest thing that at least you're keeping close tabs on that they can maybe make a big jump here as they get set for training camp in terms of the personnel that they brought in the offseason?
Well, probably the biggest thing is going to be like the defense and how the secondary is going to get along with each other and understand their concepts, as well as getting young Shepard in and getting his skills up to par. The kid's a phenomenal receiver, waiting to see what he does with Eli and that group. Those two spots are probably the biggest concerns for me. Not really concerns, but things to watch and things you want to keep most attention on.
Obviously, I want to talk to you about the tight end position since that's your specialty, right? Larry Donnell been cleared to practice. He's healthy. Will Tye, we saw what he was able to do last year. But the Giants go out and they draft a tight end, Adams. And I'm hearing really great things about this young man. Realistically, do you expect him to have a real fair shot at possibly winning the starting tight end position on this roster? What have you seen from him in regard to tape, film, and does he have what it takes to be a starting tight end with the Giants year one?
Well, believe it or not, you probably had more tape on him if you've been watching any of the college stuff on him than you have on the two current guys, because unfortunately, Will only got to play like about this first season, and Donnell didn't get to play last year, so he has more current tape, more stuff to go back to review than the two guys that are going. The thing you have to think about also is that somebody's was just asking me this, is that can guys. Who are the quickest guys to, translate into the NFL? And there are guys that are playing receiver and receiver-type positions like tight end. Without the contact, without the bumping around and grinding of practice, you get to go out and run routes and pretty much figure it out. If he can block a little bit, he could definitely move into the spot.
Howard, you mentioned Larry Donnell. Obviously, he missed the majority of last season due to the injury. When a player like that misses so much time and is now slowly being eased back in, what's going to be the biggest challenge, Howard, for him to, get back to the level that we saw not too long ago when, he really came out of nowhere and became a big passing threat for Eli Manning?
Well, I think that, for America, that as they watch these practices and watch these games, they have to realize that guys do work hard at playing, and injuries are part of the game. Game's not safe, but the game is just part of it. We want to play. We're excited about playing, and we get after it. The difference in today's game and the game that maybe I played is that, when we got injured, we would do anything we could to get back on the field. It was just a mentality. Now that you know more about the injuries that you have, then they kind of ease you back onto the field. The question used to be, can I run? Yes. Is this going to kill me? Not today, no. Okay, then I'm going back in the game. Now it's more of you got to really think about the health and well-being of the players. That's all that everyone seems to be talking about every day. How you get him back into the game, you got to get him reps. He has a want to have reps. He's got to be able to understand a little bit more of how to keep himself safe when he's playing and how to, I don't know how to explain this other than he's got to figure out how to keep his feet on the ground, because tumbling is kind of how he got himself hurt.
Howard Cross joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks and Lance Meadow. Let's move from tight end, obviously, to the offensive line. Had a few callers when I hosted with Lance the other day call in, and still doom and gloom in regard to that offensive line on the right on the right side with Marshall Newhouse, John Jerry, and the potential of Bobby Hart competing for that right tackle position. How much weight has Bobby lost? 25 pounds or something like that?
He slimmed down a bit.
Yeah, he slimmed down quite a bit. What are your thoughts on that right side of the line? What are you anticipating here this season, Howard?
I'm anticipating, you know, that Bobby Hart's going to give a really good run and make these guys pick up their game a little bit from the right tackle position. There'll be some other guys probably flowing in and out, you know, just because the roster is kind of where it is right now. It's not the ending roster before training camp. And Jerry Reese and those guys will be keeping their eyes out there and their ear to the ground, trying to see if there are other guys floating around that they might need or get an opportunity to come in. The big thing is that you got to have competitive guys to play out there. The right side of the line historically has been your run side of the line. Basically, most teams are right-handed; they run the ball right-handed. And if you can move a guy off the, you know, move the guy off the line when you're blocking him, that was the old days. Now it's right side or left side. It's more about being able to pass protect. I think that the guys, as they get their feet set, as they learn to get themselves back off the line, that's what's going to be the big, you know, deciding factor. Can these guys set up and block and be good and on the edge out there? And with the way the pass rushers are going now, no pass rusher is designated a left side rusher or a right side rusher. They move from side to side, you know, poking and prodding, trying to find a soft spot on the offensive line. With that in mind, you know, whichever guy it is, he's going to have to get a lot of reps early. Unfortunately, it don't get as many reps. We say this all the time as you used to. You don't get as many live opportunities to practice it and get to see that speed. So that's going to be some time spent on your own trying to figure out how to get up and get out of that stance.
Howard, the first few days of OTAs, they had been rotating Marshall Newhouse and Bobby Hart on the first team at right tackle. You know, you saw him last season. He got a little time during the regular season, and there's always the big question about, is he more suited for right guard? Is he more suited for right tackle? At least based on your observation since he was drafted, you know, where do you think his best position is if he were to ever grab a specific spot on the O-line?
Think about Peel, you know, how he kind of moved from guard to tackle, from tackle to guard and back. He can play a lot of different positions. I think that's your best alternative. Unless they draft you to play tackle specifically, and that's where you're going to play, be able to be flexible to move inside and outside. I think he'd be great at right tackle, but, you know, right guard has, you know, both spots have challenges. I think that people don't realize this. Right tackle, you're in space. When you're in space, you've got to be able to drop back and pick up that guy off the edge. Right guard, you're kind of plugged in where you're having help on both sides. The problem with guard is you have to pull. So is he athletic enough to pull, or is he athletic enough to block in space? Those are the two questions you gotta find out. So I can't answer which one he's going to be better at until you see him get some more reps.
Howard, you mentioned Sterling Shepard. I'm with you. I'm so excited to see this young man play. Everything I hear about him from scouts and coordinators is that he's kind of like a video game. I mean, that's the best way to describe, you know, what he's bringing to the table. And I just sit back and I said, you know, if he's that explosive, and now we already have a taste in regard to what Odell Beckham Jr. is going to bring to the equation. This is going to be a secondary's nightmare, especially you've got Eli Manning, one of the best quarterbacks playing in the NFL. This is a secondary's nightmare heading into the season. Don't you agree?
It's more than a secondary's nightmare. We just got through talking about the offensive line and how we're going to, you know, who's going to be able to play right tackle and how good they're going to be. A kid that can get open that quick gives problems to the pass rush. He's open almost instantly with his ability to cut and turn. His speed is, you know, undeniable, but his quickness in and out of cuts. I've always said guys that can run great routes are the most dangerous guys to play against as receivers. Some guys are just burners run down the field, but a guy that can always get open, those guys are hard to cover. I mean, the Patriots have a team full of guys that seem to get open instantly as Brady drops back, and now the Giants have, you know, a couple guys, and this kid could be one of the premier guys in the league that does that.
Talking with Howard Cross, a fellow member of our Giants broadcast team, going over some of the storylines out of OTAs as well as what's transpired this offseason. Speaking of the receiving core, Howard, Ben McAdoo came out, said that they're taking it very easy with Victor Cruz, which is not necessarily a surprise. The goal is get him ready for the start of training camp. But since he's not on the field now, you know, this certainly presents some opportunities for Jeremy Davis, Dwayne Harris to get additional work with Eli Manning. How crucial is that? I mean, we focus so much on Odell Beckham and what Sterling Shepard may bring to the table, but what about the rest of this receiving core and what could perhaps build chemistry-wise during this time period?
Well, you know, everybody's trying to get their timing down and run the routes and understand where they fit into the receiving system. But if it's me, if I'm not, if my name's not Odell Beckham, if my name's not Shepard, then I'm looking, or even Harris, I'm looking at this as an opportunity. Every moment that Victor's not on the field, if I'm one of the other guys, if I'm a random guy that just happens to be in camp, I'm looking at this as my opportunity to get some air time, to get myself some film time, not just for the Giants, but for every other team in the league. I want every opportunity I can to get on the field to prove that, hey, look, I can be here. And all of a sudden, you know, Victor, as talented as he is, you know, someone should remind him of Wally Pipp. Wally Pipp is a famous name in New York history of a guy who didn't get back on the field in time and a legend was born.
Howard, one of the discussions that we had last year and we're having it again is, you know, what players would you like to see kind of turn the corner and really take a step up and make a name for themselves on this roster? Last year for us, it was Reuben Randall and DeMontre Moore. Unfortunately, we know they're no longer here.
That's a KOD. We don't want to say that anymore.
No, I'm curious. I'm curious. So Lance and I have discussed it, but I'm curious. Who are your two guys? One guy on offense and one guy on defense that you feel you're like. This is the one guy you're really looking at this year that you feel can step up, turn the corner, and make a difference on this team.
I think Collins from the defense, the safety from Alabama. Of course, I'm going to pick the Alabama guy. I think
no surprise there.
I think that he has a lot of room for growth, which means he played and started almost every game, but there's a lot of room for growth. I think that he can adapt and learn a little bit more about this NFL system, Spags defense, and he could be a big factor in the defense as they move forward. You know, from an offensive standpoint, there's so many guys you want to step up, so many guys that you need to step up, but you hope and pray that it's going to be a guy like, you know, it'd be Hart or Newhouse. You need one of those guys to step up at right tackle. Whoever's going to be the guy that plays right tackle will be the guy that will change the entire offense from the standpoint of, you know, helping, giving a little more time in the passing game, which would be great and be very effective for Eli. But also, it will help the run game. Being able to run the ball effectively could change everything. I mean, if they can run the ball effectively, they would be the most dangerous team in the NFL with those receivers.
Absolutely, a balanced offensive attack, something that they wanted to see a little bit more consistently last season. And speaking of the rushing attack, Howard, you know, we talked about depth at some of these other positions. You've got six running backs right now in camp, and all with experience, with the exception of Paul Perkins, their draft pick. And you know, this topic's come up on this show a lot from the fans' perspective when they look at Shane Vereen's production last year. And if you look at his numbers, Howard, in comparison to what he did in New England, he actually had a career year. I mean, his number is pretty much in terms of targets, receiving yards, up across the board. But, you know, people are wondering, could he have done more last season, or what can he do to build off of where he left off last year? Where do you see him moving forward under Ben McAdoo's offense, specifically this season?
Well, see, I think that everybody's getting things confused when the Giants are trying to score in their spread offense. That's where Vereen's in the game. When it's third and one or goal line, Vereen's not in the game because he's not this power back. Out in the middle of the field, when they're moving around and the passing game is so big, McAdoo's system is a passing system. That's why Vereen has the numbers that are up so high. But if the Giants are going to run the ball and really put pressure on the defense from the run standpoint, I think Vereen's a great player. I think he can do a lot of things. I don't know if he's going to be – he doesn't have the body build to take that kind of a pounding. So that – I mean, I think he can do more. Yes, I think he can. If they're throwing the ball more, yes, he will do more. If they're running the ball more, he's going to – I mean, that's where he'll get knocked up and dinked and dunked. It could hurt him.
So with that being said, Howard, then who in the backfield do you see perhaps doing the heavy lifting? Is it Rashad Jennings, or is there somebody maybe that hasn't received plenty of attention yet?
Well, whoever they decide, they can't do a running back by committee anymore. I think that they tried that last year. I think they looked at it last year. If they have a healthy body that can actually do it, they need to start, you know, giving that guy his time and developing from there. You need a guy that can, you know, can catch the ball a little bit out of the backfield, that can block and protect the quarterback when they're throwing the ball, and a guy that can get in there and grind it a little bit. Grinding the ball, no matter what anyone says, when you grind and get after a guy, it's still is one of the main things that really beats a defense down. Having to get up and tackle a guy again really kills a defense later in the game.
Well, Howard, we greatly appreciate the time and the insight. Always nice catching up with you in the offseason.
Hey, guys, you have a good one, man. Anita, see you on the golf course soon.
Oh, I've got a 1:30 tee time today, my friend.
Hit him straight.
Okay.
All right, Howard. Appreciate the time. Howard Cross, member of our Giants broadcast team.
Hence the hat and the collared shirt.
Yes, I was going to say, you're ready to get on the golf course. Howard is looking ahead in the calendar in terms of a future date. But some good stuff out of Howard in terms of some of the position battles, some of the players with upside and so forth.
Are we on the same page in regard to the one player that you're looking at offensively and defensively to kind of take a step up? Excited to see?
On the same page? Well, I think there's a number of guys that you could throw out.
But who's the one, okay, so give me the one guy offensively that you're like, this is the guy that, like, I can't wait to see what he's going to do this season.
Well, I'm very interested to see what Will Tye in particular is going to do, or if Larry Dinell, whoever wins that starting job, because the tight end position in this offense, I think, really can explode and can be used as maybe that underdog position where, you know, you're not anticipating that position on defense, but all of a sudden there's going to be opportunities to get first downs and so forth. So Will Tye or Larry Dinell, that's the player that I'd like to see perhaps even continue to elevate their game.
Interesting. For me, it's Shane Vereen. But I don't know how much, but not that he had a bad year last year. It's just, I don't know how much it was like his role in regard to McAdoo's offense compared to what we saw in New England. But, you know, I just felt like, you know, he was just more, he contributed more in New England than he did here last year. And maybe that's because, well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of the same in New England. You know, you've got a multi-head monster back there. That's the way that Bill Belichick likes to play. So I'm really curious and interested and excited to see his role this season, if it'll expand, if he'll be utilized more so in the passing attack. I think that he can be an absolute force to be reckoned with if given the opportunity and played in certain packages and schemes. That's for me. And then defensively, I'm on the fence right now in regard to Devon Kennard or 00.
Yeah, 00 would be my guy because I see a golden opportunity for a third pass rusher to emerge, and I think the job is staring at him right in the face. So 00 would be my guy. I mean, Kennard, I think, is a great one as well, but, you know, there's an opportunity here. I think Devon Kennard, as long as he stays healthy and shows strength in the position that they paint him in, I think he's in line to get a starting job, whereas 00's role, Anita, right now is really up in the air. I mean, are they going to use him as a run guy? Are they going to use him in pass running situations? Where are they going to utilize him? Where is he going to emerge? So, I mean, I'd like to really see him also take an opportunity and run with it.
And, you know, one thing that we saw in regard, I know OTAs, it's just, it's fun, it's, you know, nothing live, there's no tackling going on, but, you know, just a little bit that the media was able to see, I think it's going to be really exciting to see how Spags is going to utilize JPP. I think you're going to see JPP on both sides of the line. I think you're going to see JPP in the middle of the line, which will open up things for O as well. So I think Spags is going to be totally creative and create situations where 00, I think you're right. I think he's going to have a good year. Hopefully he stays healthy and he's on the field.
And in the limited time on OTAs already, we've seen 00 be moved to the inside when I was seeing practice the last 2 days. So that doesn't surprise me. I'm sure he's going to do everything he can to get four defensive ends on the field. And, you know, for the most part, JPP's been on the left. This is something we haven't brought up on the show the last 2 days. And Vernon's been on the right, which is not a surprise because if you go back to what Vernon had to say earlier in the offseason, he made it clear during his tenure with the Dolphins, he was comfortable on the right side. That's where he anticipates being. But I'm sure they're going to move players around, but to start at least, JPP on the left, Vernon on the right. We're going to have the Clemson defensive coordinator, Brent Venables, to talk about B.J. Goodson, what he's going to bring to the team at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, we're going to open up the phone lines to you, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Also, send in your questions on Twitter. We already have one here from A.J. Marshall at AJMarshall3. Has Bobby Hart done both right guard and right tackle in OTAs? It's a good question, considering what we just talked about with Howard. I have seen him solely at right tackle for the first few days. That doesn't mean that they're not going to move him around, but from what I've observed, they've been interchanging Newhouse and Bobby Hart at the right tackle position. John Jerry's gotten the majority of the work at right guard,
yeah,
at least in terms of the ones.
I think that's going to be one of the biggest position battles to watch. Granted, there are a number of position battles, and let me list them for you. Because I have them written down right here. So obviously the tight end position, there's going to be a battle there. It's not Danelle's job to lose. It's not Ty's job to lose. That's going to be fun to watch. Running back, I think we're all assuming that it's Rashad Jennings and then everybody else kind of fall in. But listen, anyone could really step up big time in OTAs and training camp and demand more playing time because of what coaches see during training camp. Wide receiver, obviously Odell, Shepherd. Big expectation for Cruz, but then, you know, what happens, you know, after that? And then the question is, how many wide receivers do they keep on the roster? Bobby Hart and Marshall. The free safety position, that's going to be a good one as well. The middle linebacker position between Brinkley and Robinson. I don't think this is just Robinson's job to lose, considering they brought him in from Washington. I think it'll be a battle for that middle linebacker.
Brinkley's been getting most of the first-team reps already.
That middle linebacking position. But keep in mind, I mean, he knows this defense better
he
than
does.
Robinson.
Well, but I think he's done a nice job, just even emerging as a leader, too. I mean,
right.
The way he vocally has commanded the defense, that has jumped out to be probably more so than any other player so far.
And that slot corner position, listen, the Giants went out. Top 10 pick on Eli Apple. I mean, you know, this guy's going to have to beat out. Wait for that slot corner position. That's going to be a good one, and all eyes are going to be on him because he was a top 10 pick. Excited to talk to B.J. Goodson because, you know, that Will linebacker, I'm assuming that it's J.T. Thomas's job to lose, but we'll see.
Absolutely. Certainly a lot of battles to look forward to. In the meantime, let's head to the phone lines. Abdul is in Minneapolis. He gets us going on Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Abdul, what's happening?
Hey, guys. I have a question and a statement. First, two statements, actually. I just heard Howard Cross talk about running back size, and it seems like, you know, since Joe Morris, everyone says small running backs can't do it in the NFL. And every year, historically, small running backs are the most productive. So I don't know why people are still stuck on that. You need a 6'2", 230-pound running back to be good in the NFL. You know, Emmitt Smith, the leading rusher in the NFL, is what, 5'10", 2-something tops. It seems like, you know, people are stuck in this in this kind of closed-minded way of thinking, there's no reason why the rookie from UCLA can't be the starting back, running back on this team.
Well, I don't think Abdul,
I don't mean to
cut you off. I don't think it was so much the size that Howard was pointing to in terms of height. Jennings is 6'1" versus Vereen's more in that 5'10". Ballpark. I think it's more about just body weight. And Jennings, if you look at weight-wise, Jennings has about 25 to 30 pounds on Vereen. So I think that was the point that he was bringing. The bulk, the pound of every single down as it builds up throughout a game, he feels that he's more suitable to be your ball carrier, your heavy lifter, as opposed to Vereen. I think that was more of the difference he was pointing out. Body weight, physique, more so than size.
I hear you, but I see small running backs doing it all the time in the NFL, and people should. That's just my personal opinion. Second thing is, I live right across the street from the new Viking Stadium, and I have huge stadium envy right now. You know, I just saw the highlights or the pictures of the new Atlanta Stadium with the cool ocular opening. What did the New York Giants spend $1 billion on? It looks like a gray box. I haven't been there personally. Is there something more to that stadium that I don't see? It seems like for $1 billion, we could have gotten a lot more out of that stadium. Am I wrong there? Or it just seems like the Giants went a little too conservative, that we could have had a little more flash on stadium. Am I missing something here?
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know much about the politics behind the architectural decisions, Abdul.
Right.
I don't necessarily have the knowledge behind that to give you any insight. I will tell you that, you know, if you go inside the stadium, they certainly have put a number of features in there to appeal to the fans and also demonstrate the history of the team from that standpoint.
Right.
I mean, you know, listen, it all depends on, you know, what you want out of the stadium. Every ownership group, every team has a different outlook. Some want to showcase the history of the team. Others want it to be visually outstanding. And then the other factor is they just want to have all types of distractions and games and so forth that probably take you away from the actual game itself.
Is, when you see MetLife Stadium with your own eyes, is it cool looking? Because I want to see it on TV. I've been back to New York in a few years. Is it better looking? It seems like a big gray box. Am I missing something, or is that basically what it is?
Yeah, but, you know, also keep in mind, you know, this isn't just, unfortunately, this isn't just the Giants stadium. It's you know, they share a stadium.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, there had to be some... you know, some agreements there in regard to how it was constructed
projected.
And how it was built.
Sure.
So,
I said every day I look at the MetLife Stadium. No, I'm sorry, at the U.S. Bank Stadium, the new Viking one, and it's incredible. You guys will see it this fall. It's incredible. Third question: who is number 15 on who's wide receiver this year? I just watched the couple of the highlights, and he seems like he's catching everything. Do you guys know who that is?
Well,
is
I know, rookie, or is he I know Sterling's 87.
Number 15.
Davis?
I mean, I'll look at my latest roster here. I know they've made some
Davis?
Tweaks with the numbers. It's Tavares King.
Okay. Well, I watched the highlights yesterday, and he made a couple of great catches. He just looked like he had a little juice to him. I know it's really early, and, you know, there's no contact, but I just wondered who he was. He kind of jumped out at me.
Well, right, there were a number of wide receivers, and appreciate the phone call, Abdul. There's a number of wide receivers getting reps because, as I mentioned, with Victor Cruz sideline, they're mixing those guys in and out. You know, Lewis out of Bowling Green, he's gotten a lot of work with OTAs. I've seen him out there. You know, KJ Maine's another one. They're giving these guys opportunities to go out there and show you something. Miles White had a nice attempt at a grab in the end zone the other day. There's a lot of names. They're not household names, but they're getting a lot of reps during camp, and that's why I keep emphasizing, you know, everybody's focusing on Victor Cruz not being out there, and, you know, you want him out there, but, you know, this gives the Giants a great opportunity to evaluate who else they have so that before they even start training camp, they could perhaps say to themselves, all right, this guy's a front runner. We want to see him with Eli a little bit more with the first team to see whether or not we can find a role for him. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's a great problem to have, right?
When you have a lot, when you have talent and you have bodies, you might as well use them.
And also, from what I understand, this is the largest number of undrafted free agents that the Giants have brought into camp. From what I understand, it's something that Paul Dottino told me the other day.
Based on the opportunities to fill out the 90-man roster.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
number of names to certainly keep close tabs. All right, let's try to squeeze in another call here before we are joined by Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator from Clemson. We've got Russell in Alaska. Russell, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
Doing well, Russell. How's things with you?
I'm all right. I'm in Alaska doing a military thing.
Oh, wow.
Well, thank you for your service. Appreciate that.
I got a couple of questions. I watch our show every day when I get off work, right? And I know y'all don't like Charlie, but he hit me right on the point.
I like Charlie.
Now, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say this one more time. We were 6-10 last year. Our offensive line is terrible. You do not have Newhouse as your starting right tackle. I had a Green Bay fan tell me that. He said, y'all got Newhouse. He said, y'all might as well put this in your season. Newhouse is trash. We need a right tackle. Jerry Reese is not good at drafting. Trade a second-round pick and get a right tackle. The NFC East is open. We can grab it. We're going to have the best defense in the NFC East. All we need is an offensive line. It's not hard. I don't understand it. By now, I thought we would grab some type of right tackle. Newhouse?
Well,
really?
Russell, don't you think, though, if a team's got a starting caliber right tackle that they want to hold on to that player and they're not going to be so quick to trade you that starting caliber right tackle? You got to look at it from that equation, too.
But we got to look at it equation, too. Some teams, like you said, salary caps, things are coming up. Somebody will make a trip. We got five running backs. Get rid of – we're not going to use all five of these running backs. We're not not going to use them all.
Well,
so
Russell,
get one and get a right tackle.
Russell, you're the second caller in as many days to bring up the point about there's too many running backs on this team. And, you know, once again, I'm not expecting anybody to get hurt, and you never want that to happen. But you got to prepare yourself, okay? There's no guarantee that all five, all six stay healthy. It never hurts to have depth at that position. That's not a bad thing.
Same thing as the offensive line. What if Flowers get hurt? What are we going to do?
Well, that's why they're evaluating what they have behind the starting group in camp. You know, keep in mind, a lot of these names that we've talked about over the last few days, Russell, you know, limited reps that we've actually seen them out on the football field. Plus, you know, you got a brand-new offensive line coach in Mike Solari. You combine all those factors, they're going to use OTAs, 10 sessions of OTAs, plus the mini camp that's going to come up in mid-June to say, this is what we've got behind our starters. This is what we need, or we're okay with what we got. But you got to go out and see what you have. Prior to this, there hasn't been a lot of work on the field for these guys. You know, Brett Jones, he was hurt all of last season. He was on IR. So there were limited opportunities for some of these backups.
Lance, I understand what you're saying. But if Newhouse starts at right tackle next year, we do not make the playoffs. Jerry Reese wants to put his stuff in a box and kiss his career goodbye as a general manager. You messed up again. Get a right tackle. It's over. We need a right tackle. We're not going to MCs with Newhouse as a right tackle. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. He's garbage.
Russell, listen, you got Bobby Hart in camp, and Bobby Hart's going to have an opportunity to claim a starting job, too. I've said this all the time. Ben McAdoo's been on the record. He said the right side of the offensive line, it's an unwritten story. So nobody's penciling anybody in or saying this guy's definitely got the starting gig. There's going to be a battle for that position.
All right, we'll see. I'm just so scared of this Newhouse move. I'm like, Newhouse, oh, my God. Oh, man, we're done. Get somebody. Jake Long, get somebody. Lord, this don't have Newhouse. And I said, I appreciate the call.
Okay, sounds good, Russell.
I mean,
appreciate you weighing in.
I think that's pretty drastic, though, to say, like, if Marshall Newhouse is the starting right tackle, that, you know, this team's not going to win a number of games. I mean, this is football. There's a number of guys out on the field. And it's quite a big number. So I'm not sitting here. Granted, yes, would you like to see an upgrade at that position? Absolutely. But am I sitting here looking at the schedule and going, oh, well, wait a minute. Like, for example, I really do believe the Giants have the ability to win 10 games this season. Am I looking at the schedule and going, oh, if Marshall Newhouse is the starting right tackle, that they're only going to win 7 or 8? No, I'm not.
Well, the offensive line certainly had some ups and downs.
Look at what the offense was able to do last year. For God's sake, look at what they were able to.
It was extremely productive. I mean, it was in the top 10 in the NFL. Yeah.
So,
well, that's why I was going to bring up the point. What I was leading to was the fact that the defense too, you know, was an issue. You can't just look at it as there was one facet of this team that held them back.
Right.
There were other facets. So they've gone out this offseason. They've looked to improve those other facets, which you would expect then would improve your chances of being a more consistent team and solidifying and closing out games.
Heck, just put Snacks there.
On the offensive line, have him be a two-way player.
Why not?
He certainly has the makeup to be an offensive lineman. I don't think anybody would deny that.
I bet you'd be a good one, too.
Well, there's a number of players that throughout the course of their careers, if you go back to high school and everything, and Harrison coincidentally did play a little offensive line early in his career before he made the transition. So it wouldn't surprise me if he would be open to that idea. But I think right now they want him to stop the run and fill the void next to Jonathan Hankins so that obviously the Giants improve with run stopping, which was clearly an issue when we were talking about some of the problems from last season.
But just going back to what Howard Cross said a little bit earlier on, if you missed that interview, he joined us at the top of the show. If you missed it, obviously this show will be posted on Giants.com. I highly recommend you go back and listen in. He said, my goodness, if this team could just run the football, the offense will be just out of control. And I totally agree with that. I mean, listen, look at all the points that this offense was able to put on the board last year without a solid rushing attack until the last few games of the season. So, you know, so and I get the concern for a lot of Giants fans out there. You just re-sign Eli Manning to another lengthy deal. You're hoping he's going to stay healthy for the next 3 to 5 years. God knows how long he wants to play, probably till a senior citizen, I would imagine. and, you know, you're looking at this offensive line and you're worried because you want to keep Eli healthy. Yes, of course you want to keep Eli healthy, but at the same time, you know, for me, it's more about establishing a better rushing attack. Because once the Giants can establish a better rushing attack, now you're keeping defenses honest. And then going up against Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard, and God willing, fingers crossed, a healthy Victor Cruz. Wow, watch out. It's a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare.
Well, the running game is going to help move the chains, especially in those short yardage situations where, you know, the Giants statistically did not finish where they wanted to, the third and ones, the two and ones, and so forth. So, you know, you're able to move the chains with your ground game, and you don't necessarily have to throw 5 or 6 yards down the field. That, to me, is the biggest bonus of having a running game. And, you know, bringing those linebackers a little bit up near the line so that they have to respect the run. And then that's only going to make more favorable opportunities down the field for this receiving trio. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We're going to reopen up the phone lines here as we move till the top of the hour. We got Brandon in New Jersey. Brandon, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How we doing, Brandon? Doing well.
Good. Now, you know, I've been big on the offensive line saying that I didn't think John Jerry and Marshall Newhouse should be on the right side. Now, more and more I've been thinking about it, it seems like the Giants is content with John Jerry at right guard. I think their main concern is the right tackle position. So I'm going to go there. I believe continuity is very well for the Giants because you don't want to keep on shuffling offensive linemen in and out on the right side. So I believe the right side should be John Jerry and the kid Bobby Hart at right tackle. And I would stick with that. I believe in my heart that Marshall Newhouse will not hold down the right tackle position. And I believe that he's a backup in my mind. And I believe Bobby Hart should be the right tackle. Now, another thing. I believe we should give the kid B.J. Goodson every opportunity to become the middle linebacker. Why I say that? Because he could play all three downs. He could stop the run, and he could defend the pass. I believe having Brinkley in there at the middle linebacker position, he could only give you the stop the run. And I don't think in all the packages, Spagnuolo want to keep switching the middle linebacker in and out because back in the day, Antonio Pierce, he played all three downs. And I think that's what Spag is more looking towards. Than just having a two-down guy. And at the free safety position, I believe we need to give it the kid that we just drafted. He's the highest draft pick. Give him every opportunity to win the job because I believe that's a good nucleus. With Cromartie at right corner, Jenkins on the other, you got the kid Apple in the slot, Darian Thomas at free safety, Landon Collins at strong safety, and the middle linebacker is JT Thomas, BG Goodson, and Devin Kennard. And you know the front four already. That's what I believe. What you guys think about everything?
Well, you certainly threw out a lot here. I mean, it's almost as if we're going to re-go over the entire team.
Listen, in regard to Eli Apple, he will be given this is a first round top 10 pick. He's going to be given every opportunity to win that slot corner job.
Let's talk about that right tackle position. I believe everybody was saying yesterday, oh, let's slow our roll on Bobby Hart. But I follow him on Instagram, and I've seen his progress throughout his whole grind. And I believe he's ready to start at right tackle because I believe that's where they want to play him because I think they like John Jerry a lot. So Bobby Hart should win the right tackle position, and B.G. Goodson should be the middle linebacker, and Darian Thomas. Let's talk about those three.
Well, Goodson is going to have an opportunity to battle for that spot. But, I mean, you can't overlook the fact that Brinkley knows the system very well. So he's ahead of the game in the classroom work from Goodson.
But he can only play two downs.
Well, but keep in mind, though, in this day and age, Brandon, on defense, especially when the opposition goes three or four wide receiver sets or a tight end that they throw in, there's no guarantee that you're going to have three linebackers on the field anyway. And there's no guarantee that that middle linebacker is going to be one of the two linebackers that's going to be on the field. So even if you're only having Brinkley play first and second down, on third down you may throw in another safety. You may throw in an extra corner. There's no guarantee that's going to come from a linebacker.
Right. That's why they might, in a secondary at the safety position, they might play three corners. It might be Burhead and the kid we just drafted, Thompson, and Landon Collins back there.
Well, Collins and Burhey have been getting a great deal of the work on first team at safety. I've seen Thompson, the rookie who they just brought in from Boise State, they moved him into the slot a few times with the first team. He's also then been working with the second and the third team at the safety position. So they've been toying where they could maybe throw him into the mix. I wouldn't rule that out. I think it's very possible that one of the safeties could very well become sort of a slot corner or third option.
Okay, so what you've been seeing at the right tackle position? Because in your mind, don't you believe that they're in love with John Jerry and they only going to really make any changes, just the changes at the right tackle position?
Well, I don't know if they're in love with anybody. It's not as if anybody publicly is necessarily leaving that out and saying, you know, these two guys are definitely going to be locked into these positions and we're not going to open up for battles. I think if you read into what you saw in the first two OTAs, Brandon, I would agree with you. You know, there hasn't been much movement in the right guard spot. Jerry's pretty much stayed there, whereas Newhouse and Hart, they've been trying to get different looks at right tackle with the first team. So if you connect the dots, you figure maybe there's more of a battle at right tackle at right guard, but who's to say that what they see in OTAs translates over to training camp and they start moving Jerry in and out with the ones. I mean, I think it's very early to say for sure that there's more competition at right tackle than there is at right guard. It's only been 2 days of OTAs.
Right, and I believe Bobby Hart should win the right tackle position. And there we go with our offensive line with Eric Flowers, Justin Pugh, Rich Bird, Jerry, and Hart.
Well, they're going to have opportunities to battle for that. Bobby Hart, he's in the mix. I mean, we don't need to speculate. That's the thing. You know, I know we spent months trying to speculate, you know, who's going to get opportunities. Bobby Hart's already getting opportunities at right tackle.
You know, also, and thank you for the phone call, but also keep in mind, like, you know, this roster is not done yet. There is still the ability of a tackle being added to this roster that very well can come in and will immediately be planted in as the starting right tackle, okay? So that is a possibility. It's not like, you know, it's not like free agency or a potential draft potential trade could not happen. I mean, that is a possibility. So keep that in mind. So I'm not getting too crazy in regard to the right side of this line right now, because who knows, Lance, in reality, a month from now, 2 months from now, there's going to be a new name in here. We don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know if you could bank on that. It's a possibility. I wouldn't rule that out.
I'm not saying to bank on it, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, I get the concern, but I wouldn't go so doom and gloom considering that there are going to, and beyond just options right now that hopefully I think a lot of people are hoping will play out, but beyond that, once again, we talk about it each and every year. Training camp happens. There's teams out there, 31 other teams. A number of them are very, very, very have a lot of depth at the offensive line position. And there's going to be a player, there's going to be a tackle that's going to be cut because they just don't have enough room on their roster, and it's going to be a tough decision for that team to cut. But very well could come in and play for the Giants. So I'm not looking at the situation and going, wow. You know, Jerry Reese did phenomenal things on the defensive side of the ball. Really excited about the draft, the rookies that are here. But, you know, this team's not going to win 8 games because of Marshall Newhouse. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there right now. I'll probably never go there, but I'm definitely not going there right now.
Well, I got to see more in terms of OTAs and training camp for the battles to continue to ensue before you start to make bold predictions about, you know, this is not working or this is not effective. And, you know, as far as maybe somebody else coming in later on, which probably would be maybe during training camp, you got to keep in mind this is the time to build continuity with the offensive line. That doesn't happen overnight. So even if we want to go down the road of hypotheticals and you bring in somebody, let's say, in the middle of August, there's no guarantee that that's going to click automatically, especially if it's an offensive lineman coming from a completely different system. That's why, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, they're definitely thinking that way. Right now, what's in front of us is Newhouse and Hart at the right tackle being mixed in and out and that's what's going to happen. Until there's any changes on this roster, those are the two that are battling for that starting spot. And perhaps we'll see somebody else get thrown into that mix as we see more alignments at OTAs. I mean, right now it's those two. For all we know, you know, somebody else gets an opportunity at the tackle spot too. I wouldn't necessarily rule that out. But, I mean, everything else beyond that is just purely speculation at this point. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to get to us via social media, feel free to reach out to us there, as well as the phone lines. Let's take a look at Twitter in terms of what people are throwing out as questions and so forth. Let's see here. This comes from Daniel Butler at Daniel_Butler99. Who would you like to step up in special teams? I want Adams to be a stud on coverage, Jarrell Adams. And we actually spoke to his tight ends coach from South Carolina who raved about his work specifically on special teams. Not so much just what he could provide as a tight end. And Adams has been on the record saying that he wants to be a guy that is known for his special teams work, not necessarily just a tight end. He would be certainly a good guy. I also wouldn't rule out, you know, B.J. Goodson. Goodson also, remember, the first 2 years that Goodson was at Clemson, he was solely a special teamer. Then his junior year, he was mixed in and out between the outside and middle linebacker spots. And then when Stephon Anthony was drafted as a senior, he took the starting middle linebacker spot. So 2 years of work where B.J. Goodson was used solely as a special teams player. The one thing that jumps out to me about this group overall, the draft group specifically, they brought in about three or four guys that have had a wealth of experience on special teams. Darian Thompson's also a guy that had plenty of experience on special teams. And if you go back and watch the Senior Bowl, which I took a glance at about 2 weeks ago, he was a significant contributor on special teams in that game. So he's another name that I think could certainly come in and make an immediate contribution there.
You know, another thing, when you look at players that don't necessarily right off the bat have the skill set or the talent to be a starting middle linebacker, starting safety, starting wide receiver, and they have to go and they have to play special teams and kind of earn their role, they've got a different swag about them. They've got a different feel, different grit about them that a lot of times really translates in a huge way once they make their way to the NFL. You know, kind of like, hey, listen, I really had to work here. Nothing was ever given to me on a silver platter. I really had to work here. Now I've gotten here. I've got to continue that work. I've got to continue to prove myself. You know, trials and tribulations. That which does not kill us only makes us better. And so there's that kind of feel and vibe around those players more so than, you know, the ones that just been kissed by God athletically, you know?
Or think they're going to walk in and just all of a sudden claim a starting job. Most rookies, I think, understand you have to go out there and you have to earn a spot via special teams as opposed to necessarily having a coach look at you and say, yeah, sure, you're a draft pick. Come on in. You're going to get the starting job. So that certainly presents an eye-opening opportunity. But the good news, I would say, out of this rookie class is if you have players that you brought in who have the desire to play special teams, they want to do that, that just makes them that much easier to coach. I say the same thing in basketball, to use an analogy. It's hard to sometimes teach defense. Players have to want to play defense. You know, you look at a player like Dennis Rodman, you have to want to rebound. You have to want to hustle. You have to want to sacrifice your body. You can't, you know, grab just anybody and say, go out and do that. So special teams is the desire to want to do it before you even get into the X's and O's. And I see a lot of desire out of this rookie class. Now, a lot of it has been chatter, but in terms of their college resume, I think that's been well documented, and that's certainly a big positive here. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We'll continue to open up the phone lines. If you want to continue to chime in via Twitter, we'll address your tweets as well. We got Don in New Jersey. Don, what's happening?
Hey, Nina. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, how are you?
How's things with you?
Doing all right. Can't complain. The weather's really nice, obviously. Finally getting that nice summer weather.
Absolutely.
Just wanted to ask you guys actually real quick. I just called in. Is there a question of the day or some sort of topic of the day you guys are reaching out for?
We didn't necessarily throw out a topic. A number of people, though, are throwing out some players that they think are going to take the next step up in terms of their contributions. Also, I thought Daniel Butler on Twitter threw out an interesting question about who you think is going to be a significant special teams contributor. So we could certainly frame that as the question for today's program.
Sure, that's great. I guess my answer to that, I guess right off the top of my head, I would say Rashad Jennings needs to be that guy to come make that comeback, step up. Because obviously there's a lot of eyes on him this season, considering he did pretty sharp stuff towards the end of the season. So looking forward to that. Now, actually, I have a question regarding a couple of the rookies. I mean, we haven't heard much. I know it's only day three into OTAs, but how's Darian Thompson been looking in practice?
Well, I mentioned they've been moving him around at safety and a little bit at slot corner. In terms of, you know, how he's looked, remember, we're still looking at a very small sample size. The one thing that jumps out to me, and this was brought up when he also came out of school, and we actually had the head coach of Boise State on this program, Brian Harsin. Paul and I spoke to him a few weeks ago, and he said that, you know, he's a vocal guy. He's not shy. He likes to command the huddle, and getting a taste of that from just watching him from the sidelines during OTAs, where he's not shy at telling guys where to line up. It looks like he's really been honing in the classroom, and that's even something that, you know, some of the members of the coaching staff have picked up. So that's a positive, because you're only going to improve with the skill set as you're on the field, but sometimes, you know, being vocal and embracing those opportunities, you can't teach that type of stuff.
Sure. No, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. I definitely need one of those guys coming out of the backfield, especially. But my last question, I'll take this answer off the air. I know there's been a lot of speculation regarding the offensive line. What are we going to do? Are we just going to kind of stick with the guys in-house? But obviously everyone's been concerned about the Anthony Davis rumors and all that good stuff. Obviously, that's just all speculation from here. Just want to get your take on it. I'll take your answer off the air. And thank you so much for taking my call. I really do appreciate it.
Well, appreciate you making the call as well, Don. Thanks so much for chiming in. In terms of the last statement, it is purely speculation. Anthony Davis and so forth. Now, he's still on the retirement list with the San Francisco 49ers. His rights belong to another team. And until there's any movement on that front, he'd have to be, you know, brought to the active roster before you even start to think about some trades that could come to fruition. I mean, it's right now just, you know, I think a lot of chatter. There's also been chatter about rumors about, you know, how his views are towards the team. But, I mean, as far as anything tied to the Giants, there's nothing significant to run with at this point.
No, absolutely not. But what I am hearing out of San Francisco and his camp is that he wants something resolved wherever he ends up going a lot faster, a lot quicker than the pace that the 49ers are working at. Because the 49ers are like, listen, this is, you know, you retired.
Correct.
So,
they own his rights. They can choose to do whatever they want.
You know, we'll make a decision what we want to do in our own time. And I'm sure that's got to be frustrating for him.
Absolutely. At the same time, though, at least, you know, if you want to continue the speculation a bit, if you haven't seen this guy on the field, he hasn't played all of last season, you know, you'd have to do your due diligence to make sure he's in shape,
mm-hmm.
what type of mindset he has. You know, there's a number of other things that have to go into that before you even say, oh, wow, you know, there's this little gift dangling out there that we can go and acquire. And until you find out those answers, then you can maybe start to talk about how he'd fit into your team. So there's a lot to shift through before anybody even runs with that story. We got JC on the line in Arizona. JC, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing well, JC. How's things with you?
Alrighty. Pretty good. Got the day off, so I decided to give you guys a call.
Very nice.
Thank you.
I listened to some of the other shows the other day. I remember Charlie was talking about the O-line.
Charlie's a big fan on Big Blue Kickoff Live, man. He's like
he's a memorable individual. We'll
leave it at that. Charlie, he's been calling in. He called in yesterday. You had Len from Maryland yesterday. You had Jake yesterday.
The old gang. Everybody made their presence felt yesterday.
Yeah, and I've been listening ever since you got started here. I just, you know, wasn't in calling all the time, but I can be considered old school as long as I've been listening.
Absolutely. We'll throw you into that mix, JC. There's plenty of room on the bandwagon here to join. We don't kick anybody off the bandwagon.
All right. So I started thinking, what position was one of the positions that we, besides the O-line that we really did some work on. I'm still concerned about the pass rush. And the only reason why I say that is because JPP, we don't know, you know what I mean, if he's going to be what he was. Olivia Vernon, yeah, he's good, but he was a better run stuffer, or, you know, he was better at the run than pass rush. He only had 1 year of more than a double-digit sacks. So that's two. Three, Ola, he's unproven. We don't really know what he's going to bring to the table. And then who else is behind these guys? Really nobody. So I'm still concerned about the pass rush. I think we should bring maybe a Dwight Freeney or just for insurance. You know what I mean? So I just that's been one of our downfalls here in the last couple of years. When we had Strahan, we had Tark, we had OC, we had Kiwi, then we had JPP, then Keyman, and these guys were all impact, right away. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. And, I'll talk to you guys some other day.
All right. Sounds good, JC. Enjoy the day off. Appreciate the phone call.
Just FYI, Dwight Freeney is visiting with the Cincinnati Bengals today. Just FYI.
Correct. And he's also been mainly a linebacker since he moved around to other teams such as the Arizona Cardinals. So you got to keep that in mind in terms of various positions that he's had. If you go back to the Colts, they utilized him a little bit differently than how Arizona utilized him. But, in terms of the Giants roster, Double O, is basically a part of the draft class. Kerry Wynn is another name. Let's not forget about him. And they did bring in some pass rushers in undrafted free agency. Eshaq Williams, for example, out of Notre Dame. He hasn't been on the football field for quite some time, but he'll get some opportunities. Like I said, it's similar to the offensive line with the backups. This is the time where it's show me time. Show me time for everybody. Show the coaching staff, if you're on the back end of the depth chart, if you're on the second tier, if you're the third tier, wherever you are, show them what you have. And then they're going to walk away with the evaluations they have from this 10 sessions of OTAs, and then they're going to determine, do we feel like we got enough, or do we think that we need to pursue other means? But, right now, looking at a bunch of names on paper without necessarily a great deal of work on the field underneath them, behind them, it's hard to say that they don't have options here. Double O, once again, 4 games last year to evaluate him. That's not a whole lot to say, okay, we know what Double O can do. Kerry Wynn's been here a little bit longer, but, once again, it was a new defensive scheme that he was now learning last year compared to, what he had to deal with when he first walked into the Giants, and sometimes that's a transitional year. But those are the two first guys up that I think could very well solidify some jobs as rotational players with Vernon, with JPP. And there's going to be some alignments, I'm sure, where Spags is going to say, hey, I want to have 4 defensive ends on the field. And I'm sure he's going to try to move guys inside. Like you mentioned earlier, JPP, I've seen Double O moved inside. Kerry Wynn, I could see them moving him inside as well. They're not necessarily going to limit themselves where he can only play on the right side. He can only play right defensive tackle and so forth. I think they're going to try to mix and match.
Yeah, I've said it before, this has got to be a really exciting year for Spags. With the talent that the Giants have brought in for him, on top of compounded by the talent that he had here last season, and a lot of those young guys, new guys like JT Thomas and Devon Kennard and Double O and Kerry Wynn, and now kind of already now a year under their belt, knowing the system, coming in compounded by the talent, the physical talent that the Giants brought in. I'm excited to see what this defense is going to do, and I think Spags is going to have a lot of fun with it.
Well, compared to, what he had to deal with all the injuries last season, as long as this group stays healthy, the more options you have, the more creative you can get. I think, any defensive coordinator, any coach will tell you, you need options to be able to dig deep into that bag of tricks. And if you go back to Spags' first stint, he had options. That's why he was very creative in terms of how he moved around players. And I'm sure, like you said, Anita, he's probably saying the same thing to himself right now. He's sitting up late at night, orchestrating plays, and I'm going to move this guy to the left, I'm going to move this guy
probably,
to the right.
Probably not
to
safety
up. Yeah, I'm sure he's got that feeling.
I don't think I'd be sleeping. I think I'd be kind of like in and out. I'd probably, and when I am sleeping, I'd probably sleep next to some kind of like, pad of paper that, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and come up with some kind of like really cool scheme and write it down and can't wait to get in the next day and formulate it so I can at least try to see what it looks like in an OTA. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I envision is going on with Spags right now.
Well, I'm sure it's re-energized him as a coach. And
oh, yeah.
And I think on top of that, and he even brought this up when he's talked with the media in the past, when you have new coaches that come in on your staff, they look at it through a different lens than you've been looking at it. So I'm sure a number of the different coaches have even said, hey, I think we could use this player in this type of scenario. And Spags will take what he can from them, and he'll either apply it to the defense or, you know, he'll look at it from a different perspective. So that's another thing that I think you can't overlook. There's a number of different voices on this defense. It's not just players. It's also members of the coaching staff on offense, too. That's also good for dialogue, and that could very well change the narrative. You can't necessarily dismiss that. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's take a look at Twitter to see what else everybody is talking about, any other questions and so forth. Sonny Boy at Sonny Boy 2323. Why every year do we have question marks on both sides of the ball? That's concerning. Well, I mean, if you go around the NFL, I would say at this time period, there's question marks for every single team. There's no team that walks into OTAs and says, 53-man roster set. We have no concerns. We feel we have depth at every single position. We feel everybody knows the offense and defense backwards. I mean, I think you can make that case for just about every single team. I don't think the Giants are unique in that regard. E the Chosen One at E underscore the Chosen One. From what you guys have seen so far, how does Nat Burhe look? Burhe, as I mentioned, he's been out there with Landon Collins as the starting safety, and it's good to see him on the field.
But that's not surprising to me. If you recall, heading into last year, Nat Burhe was the one guy that we all felt was going to win that starting position opposite Landon Collins. He was the front runner, and then unfortunately came down with the injuries, and then Bennett then was the next man up, and then Thompson was the next man up, and unfortunately they all went down. So I guess what I'm saying is, based on what the expectations were going into last season, it is not a surprise to me that Burhe is starting with the first team and getting the majority of the reps opposite Landon Collins.
Unfortunately, like you said, they dealt with a lot of injuries. But last year, even with Burhe looking like he may be the guy, Dave Merritt was basically plugging those guys in and out. I remember watching training camp last year, and day one, day two, day three, I could have told you a different variation of starting safeties. They just wanted to say, guys, go out there. Let's see who gels with one another. And even Landon Collins was moved in and out. He wasn't necessarily penciled in as a starter. And I think they're going to at least try to approach it similarly this year. But I think we know Landon Collins at least is one half of your safety group. The question is, will Nat Burhe be able to secure that second spot and force the rest of the competition to settle for backup jobs, or do they feel like somebody else has emerged on the second or the third unit? You know, right now it's early, but Burhe, he is in there with Landon Collins, and he's running around, and that was one of the biggest hurdles that he had to overcome. Just stay on the football field for consecutive days, Anita, because in the past, the problem has been, you know, Burhe would flash, and then unfortunately he'd have a setback, whether it be the calf, whether it be a hamstring. So that's why I said the big step right now is he's on the football field, and that's an extreme positive. It's not just classroom work that he's settling on. Let's take a quick glance at maybe one or two more tweets before we wrap up the program here. I know a lot of people are throwing out a variety of different topics because we certainly have covered a whole lot over the course of the program. Let's take a look at what else we have.
It was good hearing from Howard Cross. Again,
absolutely.
Just a reminder, Howard Cross was on with us for the first 15 minutes of the program. So by all means, please, if you missed that, the show will be posted again on Giants.com, and you go back and listen to Howard's visit with us.
Freddie at FreddieJ underscore 23. I think Paul Perkins will have a big impact on kick returns. That's another good name to throw out for special teams work. Perkins is not with the team right now. He is back at UCLA finishing up his academic requirements. He will be rejoining the team for minicamp, which is mandated during the course of the middle of June. So it'll be nice to see him get back here to work. But Perkins is another option on special teams, whether it be return, whether it be coverage. You know, if you're the third or fourth running back, that's how you got to make your money. You have to be able to contribute on special teams. So I think those are most of the notable things that were thrown out. We certainly appreciate all the tweets, all the phone calls. We apologize in terms of not getting Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables. There were some issues in terms of the schedule, so we will hope that he will be able to join us on a future program. We'll certainly keep you updated here on Giants.com.
I'm excited to talk to him. I love it. I love when we book coaches for a number of the players that the Giants went out and drafted, because then I mean that's when you get the good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, listen, those
that's
are
when
guys
you really find out about these guys.
They were around those players 24/7.
Yep.
So if there's anybody that should know their ins and outs, what they can do, and so forth, it would certainly be a defensive coordinator who's been around B.J. Goodson. So we will continue the dialogue the rest of the week here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We should note tomorrow's the last show for the rest of the week. Friday we're off. Monday we're off. We'll be back up and running on Tuesday because of the Memorial Day holiday weekend. So if we don't talk to you in the meantime, we want to wish everybody a restful, happy holiday weekend. Don't do anything that will get you in a bunch of trouble. Enjoy, and we will continue to return to our normal schedule starting next week on Tuesday. But there will be a program tomorrow on Thursday at noon Eastern. Thanks to Howard Cross for chiming in on the dialogue, as well as you out there on the phones and Twitter. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Giants.com.